way, I am being joined up until 11 o'clock by the Australian-American composer Douglas Nyans, and we will be back with more in literally just seconds.
WPRB is supported by the Princeton Federal Credit Union. Princeton FCU's new branch at 774 Alexander Road in Princeton is now open. Features include two drive-up teller windows and a 24-hour drive-up ATM. As a student, staff, or faculty member of Princeton University, you are eligible to join. To find out more about how Princeton FCU can help you reach your financial goals and the hours of operation of its new branch, please visit princetonfcu.org or call 609-945-6200. Federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Lender.
Well, good morning. The time is exactly 9 a.m. on Wednesday, May 23rd, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday morning from 5 until 11. Thank you so much for joining me, and I just want to remind you that I will be with you next from 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning for a special edition of Treasures of Early Music. Well, I am here with the Australian-American composer Douglas Nyans, and before we go to more music, let's just discuss briefly who were some of the composers who inspired you when you were young.
When I was young. Well, the first composer would be Bach. I remember we had this crazy record collection. You know, my parents weren't classical musicians, mm-hmm. so we had everything from Broadway to lounge music to, you know, classical. And I got my hands on this record, it was in back in those days, of J.S. Bach, D minor partita for violin.
Okay.
And I was just transfixed by that piece. And then I joined a record club. They had a record club in those days.
I remember
the World Record Club.
When you would get four for a penny or something.
Something like that. Yeah, it was cheap, and they'd send a catalog, and you could order. And so I would order all these records, and they'd come, and I'd listen to them. And so I started to branch out and learn, you know, a little bit beyond Bach and Grieg and all these kinds of dudes, Tchaikovsky, and started to explore mm-hmm. more contemporary music. Well, what was contemporary for me then, which would have been late 20th century, you know, or early 20th century, I should say, you know, Prokofiev, you know, Mahler, those kinds mm-hmm. of composers, Debussy. And from there, it just kind of grew, and I started to get more interested in 20th century music then,
right.
and started to look into, you know, more contemporary, like living composers, like Lutosławski living then. And so that's kind of how my listening habits branched out.
Yeah, I remember, you know, it's funny, I haven't thought about those record clubs for years. Was that one of the record clubs, if you forgot to mail the card back, they'd send it to you automatically?
Yes.
You remember
yes.
that?
Yes, yeah, the pick of the month, you'd get
yes.
something, and it was often...
And I forgot to do that once.
yes.
And I got something, it was on RCA, Dynagroove, the Rachmaninoff Second Symphony with Andre Previn.
Not bad. But
I forgot to send the card back. And I got that. And I'm trying to wonder if
it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I guess it could have been. But anyway, Douglas, let's go now to your chamber work titled Arrive, which was written in 2002 and dedicated to the Verdier Trio. Tell us a brief word about the work, which does have ties to Tasmania.
It does. I was director of the Tasmanian Conservatorium of Music for about 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. And during one of those years, the Verdier Trio visited us to give a concert. And so I got to know them, and they got to know my music and wanted me to write a piece for them. So we were talking about it, and one day I took them out to the Tasmanian Devil Park, where they have live devils wandering around and feeding time for the devils. So these animals are amazing. They can eat their body weight at one sitting and quickly. So what they feed them is the hind quarters of rabbits, and they devour these with relish, fur, fuzz, feathers and all, you know. And so the idea of these devils really impressed the Verdiers, and they said, can you write a piece on the Tasmanian devil? And I'm like, I don't know if I write a piece on the Tasmanian devil. But I did take up the notion of things being kind of torn apart and rearranged as a kind of musical idea. And so this piece is really about that. It's about a simple statement of an idea at the beginning. It's a very spare, kind of very trimmed down kind of idea that generates the rest of the music for the whole piece through tearing it apart and rearranging it, just like a devil does with its food.
Well, let's listen now to this performance by the Verdier Trio. This is music by my guest, Douglas Nians.
Thank you.
Very effective music by my guest, Douglas Nyans. And, oh, I guess since the composer's here, I'll let him tell you what you just heard.
That was Rive, written in 2002 for the Werder Trio of Walter Werder violin, Elsa Ludwig Werder clarinet, and Sylvia Roederer piano.
Well, very good. Well, up until 11 o'clock, I am being joined by the Australian-American composer Douglas Nyans, who is here on the East Coast for the premiere of his hour-long operatic monodrama, Backwards from Winter. The performance will be this Friday, May 25th at 7:30 p.m. at Symphony Space, 2537 Broadway at 95th Street in New York. And for ticket information, you can go to www.symphonyspace.org. And, well, Douglas, since I mentioned the big event for Friday night, why don't you tell us more about it?
Well, it's a, as you mentioned, it's an hour-long monodrama called Backwards from Winter. And the reason for that is that it's basically structured in four sections. The story is about a person who loses their, main partner in a hideous accident. And so the opera opens with the main singer in a state of grief in the middle of winter, and moves backwards in time through fall, where the accident occurs, and she is grief-stricken. And then it moves to summer, where their romance really flowers, and ends in spring, where they first meet and the promise of a new relationship is unfolding. It plays with time and narrative in a very interesting new way, for me anyway, in that when things go chronologically forward, there's typically pretty much only one way to read them. But when you sequence information that's meant to be viewed in a forward direction backwards, you have both the narrative of how it's meant to go chronologically forward, but then this kind of dual narrative that unfolds as the thing that's happened before is reflected upon later in an earlier instance. I'm really saying this badly, but it's a recontextualization that really allows for time to be kind of double coded through the whole thing, so that the words are referencing both future and past all the time through the whole piece. So with that, though, we've used electronics, right, and an electric cello, so there'll be 5.1 electronics around the theater, video, and an electric cello on stage with the soprano for the duration of the whole piece. Right, so it's going to be a pretty spectacular show.
And who did the
show.
Libretto?
The libretto was done by my good friend Juanita Rockwell, who is a stage director and a writer. And we met, interestingly, on LinkedIn, and just started up
hand it to social media, I tell you. And I don't want to say nothing. Douglas is here with his phone on here in the studio. I just thought I would throw that in.
So, you know, we started up a kind of, how are you? Who are you? What do you do? And then we got to know each other a little bit, and then we started Skyping. And started coming up with this idea for this libretto, and then she, when we got on the same page of what we wanted to do, she went away and wrote it, and I think I got the libretto in 2000 and what are we now, 18? 18. I think so. Yeah, it would have been maybe 2011.
Right.
I got the libretto, and I finished the composition by 2013. And since then, we've just been working very hard to get it on. And thanks to the Center for Contemporary Opera in New York, it's going to have its premiere this Friday.
Well, that's terrific. And I thought, since your upcoming premiere features the sounds of an electric cello, I thought we would listen to a work featuring the electric cello.
Fantastic.
Right now. And this selection also includes synthesizer, digital effects, and computer. And we are going to listen to Night Canticle, dating from 1995. Before you say a brief word, Douglas, about this composition, how much electronic and computer music have you written?
Well, you know, I was just talking to our sound engineer just yesterday, who went to Queen's College like I did. Mm-hmm. And we studied, both of us, with Hubert Howe, Tuck Howe. He's known very well in the New York circles of electronic music. And we studied Fortran programming, you know, just line code programming. And after that, then I went to Yale, and we did a lot of MIDI and digital audio of stuff. So that's my background with it. And from then, in my first job, I had to set up a whole big electronic music studio on my own down in Alabama, and got kind of into it pretty deeply for a long while. So this piece, though, I've always really liked, using live instruments. And I met Jeffrey Krieger, who's the cellist we're about to hear, in my first months of being in the United States in New York City. He trudged down from Connecticut with his this massive amount of gear. Now it's all in a computer, pretty much. It's just his cello and his computer. But I like to use a combination of synthetic or synthesized sounds, sometimes, you know, straight off of presets. Sometimes I will mess with them. Sometimes I'll design them from the floor up. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'll use digital audio with it. So this piece uses digital audio files, some synthesized sounds, digital effect processing, and live performance.
Well, let's listen to it now. We hear Night Canticle by my guest, Douglas Nienz. Thank you. You were just listening to Night Canticle by my guest Douglas Nyans. The work was written in 1995 and was performed by whom?
Jeffrey Krieger.
Jeffrey Krieger was the cellist. Once again, that was music by Douglas Nyans. Well, let's go now, Douglas, to your website. If people are interested in learning more about your life and music, and I am sure they are, they can go to your website and, well, just share with us your address and spell it.
It's www.douglasnyans.com. My name is spelled DouglasKnehans.
And there will also be a link to your website on the playlist for today's show on my website.
That is awesome.
Well, I like the word awesome, especially you said it with such feeling. Well, I would like to switch gears, Douglas, now for a bit and discuss Ablaze Records. You are the director and producer of this label, which I have to say fits right into the focus of this program because it specializes in supporting new music of living composers. And I have to say that when I get a new CD on Ablaze, I can't wait to hear it because I want to hear music by our living composers, composers whom are our future and whom I may not have the opportunity to hear from.
Correct. Yeah.
And this is such a wonderful service you are doing, and you are the director and producer of the label. How did it begin?
Well, you know, it had a really interesting beginning that is a little bit, how will I say, not normal.
So it didn't just all of a sudden ablaze to the market.
No. What happened was I was the director of the Tasmanian Conservatorium of Music at the time when we started this label. And the reason why it started was because in Australia And in Britain, they have a system of ranking university research.
Mm-hmm.
And as you might imagine, the arts are not well looked after when it comes to competing for research dollars when they're stacked up against the sciences or engineering or things like that. So how are these rankings done? They're done partly on productivity with regard to publication. And so I thought, well, what if I started a label where all our faculty could just publish, you know, and it would raise our rankings, and it would be an independent label that they could publish on. Right. And I started it for that reason, so that our faculty could start to publish their research, basically, in a way that was easy and could actually happen in a vetted way, you know, because we had a board that would look at the stuff. And it wasn't just me. But then the minute I kind of formed that label, I got this job in the U.S. And it went a little bit quiet for about a year and a half. And then we started getting it ramped up again in about 2010. Firstly, with just pre-recorded music of other composers. You know, a lot of composers have music that they've recorded in concert, sometimes very good recordings, but not enough for a whole disc of their music.
Right, right, right.
And so there's no outlet. They've got this lovely recording, but there's nothing to do with it. So I thought, well, what about compilation discs where these composers could have, you know, a format to have, you know, their string quartet or their piano trio or their wind ensemble piece, you know, put out on a label. And so we started to solicit pre-recorded works. Then the next thing we did was, I think, an electronic music series, again, of pre-recorded works. And then for the longest time, I wanted to start doing new orchestra music. But, you know, you don't just trip over a new orchestra that's going to record a whole lot of new music. So I spent about 3 years, I guess, researching what orchestras were approachable in cost and also delivered really high quality at the same time. And I experimented with a couple of orchestras myself and was less than completely thrilled. And then I found the fantastic, superb Brno Philharmonic, and we've been working with them ever since. This is our sixth year working with them.
Very good. Well, because I think the exciting part about these CDs that have been produced on a place is the magical word you just said, compilation.
Hmm.
And I think, you know, when you can look, I mean, this is to me a major holiday. When I can get a look at a CD, see eight orchestral works by eight composers, young composers mostly, that I never heard before.
Hmm.
I mean, that pops right into my car.
That's great.
And I mean, and I get very excited by this. And you know, where this is my a passion and interest for preparing this program, I think it's just a wonderful thing to keep the art going and support our living composers with the way this label is doing.
Well, you know, a lot of the composers that we publish, again, they don't have an outlet. You know,
that's right.
It's really hard to get with a label of any sort at all. And so, you know, our doors are pretty wide open. You know, we're not aesthetically driven in one way or another. The only thing that I look at pretty carefully is just the quality. You know, is the work a good work?
And there is a variety of styles, too.
Oh, definitely.
I think is also a high point.
Yeah,
You know, because when you talk about styles of today's new music, and I've talked about that many times here, is that it's so diverse what's out there.
And
you can produce a recording with all these little-known younger composers mainly in a diverse style. I mean, this is just beautiful.
Well, thank you. We're pretty proud of it.
I'm sure. Now, let's go, though, one step further.
Uh-huh.
How can composers be considered to be included, let's say?
Well, we put out an annual call for scores for all of our series.
Mm-hmm.
We have a choral series, electronic music series, a pre-recorded series that we call Millennial Masters. We have a series devoted to works for chamber orchestra. We have a Pierrot ensemble series. We have a choral series, and of course the orchestra series. So pretty much anything you're writing.
How many releases do you have right now?
How many what?
Releases total.
Oh, about 50, I guess.
Wow.
And we're this year we're publishing about 14. So you know, and we also do composer monographs. So sometimes composers will say, "I've got a whole disc of pieces to publish," and we will maybe remix and master them, mm-hmm. or they might just have pieces
right,
that they want
right.
recorded that they have not got recordings for, but they've got a whole disc of music ready to go. But
right.
none of it's recorded, and so we do everything in between. So
wow,
sometimes we'll
wonderful.
Record one piece, and they'll have the rest of the pieces already recorded, and we'll master those all up. Sometimes
okay.
they'll want the whole disc recorded. So we have quite a number of composer monographs on our website. If you
wonderful.
Look too.
Well, the next question is simply, what's coming up? You said 14 releases.
Yeah. Well, we have our next Orchestral Masters disc about to come out, Orchestral Masters 5. That's a double disc.
Mm.
We have a new disc of choral music about to come out. We've just had our next release of electronic music delivered just the day before yesterday. So, you know, a lot of stuff's in the pipeline
ready
to come out.
Sure, sure. Well, that's great. And just to let you all know, Ablaze Records does have a website, which is www.ablazerecords.net. That's www.ablaze.net. And I thought it would be fun to listen to a short selection from your Sinfonia series, Volume 1.
Great.
And this is a composition of the young English composer Benjamin Rimmer. Now, he is young. He was born in 1993. I think it's just great that you're issuing this stuff. And I really, really do.
Well, he's a remarkable young composer and a really, really sweet guy, too.
And you know what is also noteworthy, I think, to say right now about this, all the young composers in general you're issuing, as an educator. And I teach classes in contemporary music and in 21st century music. When you can show a high school senior or junior or whatever that's maybe 16 years old that there is a recording on a CD by a composer who is in his mid-20s, these people are not that much older.
Right, right.
And it's extremely, I think, inspiring. So
great
work.
That's nice of you to say.
Great work. Let's listen now to The Air by Benjamin Rimmer, as performed by members of the Brno Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Mikhail Toms. And this is from the Volume 1 of the Sinfonia series on Ablaze Records.
Thank you.
a very beautiful composition by the very young English composer Benjamin Rimmer, who was born in 1993. You were just listening to his air as performed by members of the Berno Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Mikhail Toms. And this is from Volume 1 of the Sinfonia series on the Ablaze Records label. And I have to say, Douglas, what a beautiful composition.
Yeah.
And to realize that this gentleman is only in his mid-20s.
Yeah, he's a very, very humble, sweet young guy, too. And, you know, this is not a one-off. He's sent us other compositions as well that are just so beautiful. So I'm really glad to know him.
Yeah, well, that is great. And again, congratulations on the great work
that you
do on that label.
Thank you.
It's just remarkable. Well, now we're going to go now to another one of your pieces. Your new release, this is a brand new release of your music, and it features your major orchestral work, Unfinished Earth. This is a composition in three movements. Now, I played this entire work several weeks ago, but thought we would hear one section today in honor of your visit. Tell us about it. When did you write it, about the premiere? And we'll hear the movement, which was the second. We're going to do Eternal Ocean.
I wrote this piece in 2015 at the request of Maestro Mark Gibson at CCM, you know, where I work. Mm-hmm. And he did a wonderful premiere with the CCM Philharmonia of this work. And I thought, you know, I really should record this. And so the following summer, we took it to Brno and recorded it with the Brno Philharmonic, slightly augmented Brno Philharmonic. It's a large orchestra that's required for this, a lot of percussion and, yes, you know, a big string section. This work, though, you know, has a metaphorical aspect to it in that I increasingly am using Earth and the natural processes of nature, I guess, as both inspiration and metaphors for, I guess, the human condition. So this movement we're about to hear, Eternal Ocean, is really about the internal emotional drifts within all of us and how they layer and interact and change and morph over time. So there's a kind of formless aspect of this, but also a big emotional arc aspect of it, too, that I hope comes across.
Well, we're going to hear this work now, this movement. Now, this is the Berno Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Mikhail Toms. We listen now to Eternal Ocean from Unfinished Earth for Orchestra by my guest, Douglas Nians.